Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, this morning, I want you to take your Bibles real quickly, but you remain standing with me, just to Isaiah 43. And if you'll give me, some moments of time this morning, if you'll give me your complete attention this morning, I really believe that something's going to change for you today. I believe that the rest of your year is going to be the best of your year. Come on, somebody. Everybody say it. The rest of my year is going to be the best of my year. I should have titled this message that. Amen. Isaiah 43. And I want to take us back in January. Actually, in November and December, God spoke to my heart, spoke to my wife. We spoke to us, and I spoke with the leaders, and we all confirmed it. But God spoke to us and said that God had said, it is time for us to stand in expectation. But we are to expect God to do something. And in all kinds of different ways, not just our church as a general speaking, but individually, that God has said, I want you to get to prepare your heart in expectation for what I'm about to do in your life. And we spoke that word and we declared it over our church. We declared it over the people of our church. And everybody that's visited our church, everybody that's been part of our church, even those that have come to speak as special guest speakers, something's happened all year long. We are exactly at the 6-month mark today. Literally, we're in the 6-month, we're in the half of the year. It's halftime. Come on, somebody. But I think sometimes at halftime, people think it's time to rest, but it's not time to rest. At the NBA, when they're in the heat of the battle right now. It's weird. 4 years in a row, never seen this before. Four years in a row, the same team's battling. It doesn't happen. It's history. History's being made. And two of the greatest players to ever play the game. Obviously, LeBron James. For those of you that don't believe that, he's one of the best, and it probably will go down as the best. He probably will surpass Jordan one day. But I'm telling you right now, even Curry is one of the best shooters ever in the history of the game. And these guys and all the other, what they'll do is they'll play tonight, and then they'll go to halftime. But they're not going to just sit there. They're going to hydrate. They're going to get some water in them. They're going to hydrate. And then they're going to strategize. Where can we make the second half better than the first half? Oh, somebody's got to get this. Some of you may have had a bad... Listen... Every game through the last couple of series, Golden State, you know, it's hard to win year after year after year. There's always buddy hunting for your head. But it's really weird because they've been down, down, down. And in the third quarter, come on, somebody. Every third quarter, they got this history of the third quarter going out and just busting it wide open. Listen, your first half may have not been a good game. You might have missed every shot you took. You might have messed up everything in this year. But I want you to know that the second half is about to start, baby. Come on. Your second half is coming. Now, how are you going to act? Huh? Isaiah 43:19, and it reads like this. Just one verse, and I'll let you be seated. For I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness, and I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. Father, we love you. We thank you, God, today for your word. We pray that you would help your servant to deliver it with clarity and understanding, and that everyone in the sound of my voice would receive a word from heaven, the bread of heaven that you give out, my God. Because your word, my God, is a bread unto us. It's bread, the bread of life to us. I pray, oh God, help me, my God, to preach under your anointing in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Turn to somebody and say, the rest of your year is going to be the best of your year. Amen. You better change that background. I know you probably made me a background, but I think that's a better title. Think about that. Some of you right now are in the wilderness. It's all right. It's all right to be in the wilderness for a minute. You just can't camp out there for 40 years like the Israelites did. Hello, somebody. See, God is saying here in Isaiah, he was telling the prophet was declaring that God was going to take Israel through the wilderness, but, oh, check it out. Look what he says. He goes, but I'll make a way through the wilderness. I will make a road in the wilderness. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but I was watching the news the other day. It's weird, man. It's weird when you have an earthquake or you have, like, you know, volcanoes, but when you live on islands like Hawaii, there's nowhere to run. And the other day they had these big equipment op, these big equipment operators, these big dozers and these big things, and they were clearing some new roads. They were actually cutting away old, lava from an older volcano. Okay. They were cutting, making a new road in the middle of a desolate area because they said they had to make a new road because the other road was about to be covered over with fresh lava. And there'd be no other way out of that area. And so they were making the new road, and I thought, when I read this scripture, I thought to myself, isn't it amazing how when God sees that we're at the end of our road, when we're at the end of the place where we can't go anymore, what he'll do is he'll make a pathway. He'll make a new road in the wilderness for us so we can go the right way. And he'll say, this is the way. Don't go another way. Don't quit trying to go down the same road you've been going down, because that same road you've been going down has taken you nowhere. It's time for you to go where I want you to go. And then he says, I will create rivers in your dry places. In the driest place of your life, I will create a river. Listen, we're in a drought. They promised rain today. I got up this morning thinking I will not have to water my grass early this morning or tonight. But then I thought to myself, a couple of drops came and then it ended and the clouds went away. I said, we're dry, man. We're living in a dry place here in New Mexico right now. The fires are, man. It's even yesterday there was a fire in the Bosque. I think they got it right away. Thank God, because that wind picked up to 30, 40 mile an hour winds. You know what that means? I fought some of those fires on the Bosque. Or like the news people say, the Bosque. You know? I've been in there. I'll never forget. It was the 4th of July. I was in the day shift. We had a big old thing planned that evening. I told my wife, I'll be home early, baby. I got my reliefs coming in at 5 o'clock for me today. Since he has to work anyway, he don't care. He's coming in early. I came in early for him. So I'll be home and we're going to have a barbecue. And we're going to light fireworks and we're going to have a blast and the kids. And I was all excited. And about I think it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we got the beep, beep, just two of them. Like when you get just two, then beep, it was a second alarm. There was a boomer going on in the Bosque, and I thought to myself, man, well, all the other trucks will get it, but they're going to call us. I know they're going to call us, but we'll just be there for a while. We pulled up, and as we were coming down from Coors across the Rio Grande River, and I'm on this side of the truck, and I'm looking. I could see from this side of the Bosque to that side of the Bosque. I could see the fire touching together over the water. That's how hot it was. And I said, oh, boy, no barbecue for me tonight. I might be the barbecue. We pulled into the Bosque to the backside where the old park used to be at. I forget the name of that park, but it's on that side. Yeah, San Gabriel, yeah, because it's all closed out. But we pulled into there, pulled the trucks in there, got out there, and we had all our gear on, and it was 102 degrees that day. And then you imagine the heat, and we're out there fighting the fire, and we were overcome. That was the first time ever as a fireman that I had to get oxygenated. After about an hour of work, I had to literally go hydrate and get some oxygen for a minute and go back out there. And I wasn't like that. I wasn't one to do that. I would just tough it out. But I thought to myself, it was dry. It was hot. Think about how dry it is right now. Think about how dry you might be right now. Think about sometimes when you're in a dry place, when you pray, but you can't get a breakthrough. When you fast, but it seems like you can't get something. You can't get a word from God. Like when you're reading your Bible, but something ain't jumping off the page. You come to church, you go through the motions, fill my cup, Lord, you do the whole thing, you're here, somebody preaches under the anointing, and first, you say to myself, man, everybody else got their word, but I didn't get a word, man. You walk away, you go to work the next day on Monday, you're bummed out, you feel dry. Listen, that's not always a bad place to be, because you know what? There's going to be expectation for something to come when you're in a dry place. So if you're in a dry place, don't worry about it, because God's about to do something in your life, but you have to be looking for it. You have to be looking for it. And that, my friend, is what expectation is all about. See? In the 6th month of the year, and God's word to us at the beginning of the year is, and it sounds like a Christian cliche word or a word that you hear, like, oh, God's doing a new thing. No. He said more than just a new thing. He says, I'm wanting you to expect this year. We expect what? I want you to expect your old man to get right with God. Well, but he hasn't. It's been 16 years. He's still the same. The guy still puts on his socks the same. The guy still does the same rutina. you know, every day, like he used to do when he was locked up. He has everything exactly the same way. That guy ain't never going to change. I got to preach to the ladies because they're on fire. I don't know about you guys. You guys are probably dry. But you got to expect that something's different about your man. And if he hasn't changed yet, second half is on. God said 2018 is your year of expectation. It's a year for you to expect something. Your miracle. Your change. Your breakthrough. The miracle you've been praying for. It's already started, the prophet said. It's already started. Can't you see it? But sometimes God's working and you can't see it. Like the song we've been singing this last couple of weeks, this last month or so. We've been singing, even though you can't see it, God's still working. He's working things out. You might not feel it, but he's still working things out because he's always working. He never stops. He never stops. He's always working. Why is he working? Because he loves you. So if he declared to us that he's doing something new and that we have the spirit of expectation, then we must not succumb to quitting. You know, I play golf online. I've gotten really good at that. I thought to myself, I could go on the PGA Tour if I played online. Because my club hits it 300 yards, which I've only hit it 300 yards a few times in my life, and that's because it was downhill, downhill, downhill. And I hit it perfect, and it rolled at 310 or something like that. But for the most part, it's about 240 is the farthest I hit it. Now, Pat, on the other hand, can hit the ball 400 yards. We just can't find it. But 400 yards, he hits it like, where's your ball at? I don't know. I got to hit another one. But it feels good. I mean, you know, I play that golf on there, man. It's cool. It's good. And I play against people. And I play for like, you know, first place. I'm not going for second place. Like you said, I want first place. And man, I get bummed out when I get beat. And some of these players that play are sandbaggers. They're at this level, but then they hit the ball farther and they're good. I go, these guys are gaming, you know? And so, yeah, a couple of days ago, I was sitting there in the car. When I'm on wait time right there, I'll sit in the car and I'll play a quick, you know, one whole game. And this guy, he says, should I give up now? Cause I had him by like 5 strokes. I was hitting that. I hit an eagle, then I hit a birdie, then I hit another birdie, then I hit another birdie. And he was like one plus. And for those who don't know golf, I was 5 or 6 strokes ahead of him. And he says, should I just quit now? And I said, I typed it back. And I could type it back. I said, absolutely not. Not because I wanted to beat him. Kind of. I was doing so good, Charles. I was like on one. You know what I mean? I was a goat that day. And I said, no. I go, absolutely not. I said, and then I put an exclamation. I'd never give up. And he says, all right. And I still beat the living daylights out of him. But at least he went home with some pride. Let me tell you something about success. Success is not always out there. Success can be what's inside here. And then it flows out here later. All those successes that you have inside, they build to a day when it finally gets exposed and your success gets exposed. It gets exposed and you realize that it was never just that one thing, never just that one seminar, never just that one weekend, never just that one conference, it was always about the inside success, ongoing, ongoing, ongoing. And let me tell you something right now. We're not going to get out of a drought in New Mexico with one rainfall. Come on, somebody. We need like 8 or 9 or 10 days, and not like they're having it back east, because my God, it's dangerous. See, when God does something new in you, he always has a purpose for what he wants to do. Come on, somebody. You know, girls, you know how you do it? I raised 4 daughters. 2 of them are involved in cosmetology, and they're involved in hair and all kinds. And I kind of studied all that stuff. I said to myself, man, when I was 18 years old, I should have bought stock in all the products. And I'd be a billionaire now. But I know when girls start doing up their hair, and they start doing up their eyelashes, and they get up into the shop, and you know, into the little those, you know, get them nails done. You look good, you know. I've been in those shops with them, you know. I make a walk in there, and one time they burned me, guys. I was in Huntington Beach, and we were all there, all of us at that. And they go, come on in. You should let them do your feet, like wash your feet and stuff, because my feet were getting real rough. And I go, okay, yeah, let's do that. And they started scraping. I said, no, what are you doing? I scrape, I make smooth. I go, that hurts. I see it pulled out of there. I was done. I was walking around like that, like, what the heck, man? You guys go through a lot of stuff to be pretty, man, to be, you know. But there's a reason. When you're doing some stuff and taking care of yourself, there's a purpose for it. And when God says, I want to do something new in you, and you come to an altar call, or you respond to God's word in the morning when you're praying, it's okay, God. I was telling Barb the other day that I don't know how I was watching ESPN, and somehow it flipped to this channel about this movie about this drug dealer that got busted and lost his whole family. And at the end of the movie, he's fantasizing about his daughter visiting him, because he had promised her he would change, and he never did. But it's just a fantasy. He's walking with her in the prison yard, and then all of a sudden she's not there, and he's like looking around like, where is she? But it was a fantasy. And I was looking at that, and I said, and I turned it off. And it was pitch dark. Sister Barbara's gone, and I was pitch dark, and I was just there, and I just broke. I said, that was me. That was me. If I had not gotten saved, that would have been me right there. With how many years of federal time, and how many years of just never raising my daughters. My daughters wouldn't have wanted to see me. I wouldn't know my precious grandkids. You see, God's always something up to something new. And when He came and He did something new in me, He did it for a purpose. He didn't do it so I could just get blessed. He did it so I could be doing what I'm doing right now. He wants to do something new in you with passion and purpose to do something that is great for somebody else. Oh, somebody better shout this morning and believe this with me here this morning, that God has a purpose for your new. He has a purpose for the new thing He's doing in your life, and you have to expect Him. Now, what does the scripture say about this subject of expectation? Why is it that we can expect great things from God? And why should we yield to that new courage, that new zeal this year? Say, what's different from last year or last decade? Let me tell you something right now. That old scripture that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, should never get old for us. We should always understand that God's up to something brand new. Come on, somebody. Somebody shout. The scriptures say, all over the scriptures, it talks about expecting great things. And I can only realize in my mind and my heart, I may not know exactly what God is saying I'm going to do new, but I do know this, that if He was faithful last year and last decade, He'll be faithful now. I may not have every single thing all zoned down, exactly what He's going to do. I might not understand what He's doing, but I do know this, that He's working. He's at work. He's doing something in my family. He's doing something in my church. He's doing something in my nation. He's doing something in my city. I may not understand it, but I know that whatever He did before, He can do better in the future. Truth be told, our ability to expect good from God at its foundation has little to do with us and everything to do with Him. Oh, the pride of some. They think everything revolves around us. No, we're part of the master plan. God gives us a free will and free agency to be able to live and react and decide on our own. But oh, how pleasing it is when a parent gives instruction to their kid and their kid's going the wrong way, and one day they come back and say, Mom and Dad, I knew you were right. There's no greater words than that. I finally began to hear some of those words from some of my daughters now that they're beginning to be in the 40s and 30s. Dad. And I'm like, forgive me for my pride, Lord. About time. They knew everything. And I knew nothing. Genesis 50 and verse 20. They'll put it up there. If I'm going to go fast. It says, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. Joseph. God always is up something in his life. Isaiah the prophet, again in verse chapter 43, same chapter, verse 18 through 19, says, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old, because behold, I am doing a new thing. It shall spring forth. You will not see it or perceive it. And I will make a way in the wilderness. Ooh, come on, somebody. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 5 says, look among the nations and see and wonder and be astounded. Watch what I do. Romans 8 and 28, for I'm doing a work in your days that you would not believe if told. And if, oh, come on. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for the good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Philippians 1 and 6 says, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. You might feel discouraged. You might feel like, man, I've been at this for a long time and I still haven't got a breakthrough. But man, we're in the second half. We're about to experience the powerful things that God has planned all along. Don't give up. And attempt great things for God. Step out in faith. Expect him to move on your behalf. And when it comes to the family, you're marrying the Lord of his promises found in the book of saved. Not on your time, but on God's time. Come all off. What are they looking at? You got to stay on the steady, man. Daughter say, man, I want my husband. Listen, my whole life, I've been praying for people and sometimes they don't get saved. And just when I think it's over. Whatever you do, stay on the steady, because they're watching. And the day they do want to bend their knee, it may be in a long time, but the day they finally say, okay, enough is enough, where do I go? What happens if they go over to your house and you're acting just like them? Huh? What happens? Think about that for a minute. You've been telling about God and speaking to him about God, expecting a miracle, and then you get discouraged. You start getting like, this ain't never going to happen. This ain't going to happen. There's no way. These guys are just... And then all of a sudden, before you know it, you succumb. You say, well, they're legalizing it. And then what happens when they come to your house? What happens when they come to your house and say... They come and look and they say, hey, I'm ready. What's that smell? What's going on here? Think about it. It may be 10 years. My wife had to wait 10 years. Praying 10 years and I got worse every year. But there was a day. Because every dog's got his day, and this dog had his day on that cold Thanksgiving morning where I said, okay. What about when it comes to healing? Sometimes you just need to remind God and expect him. Because his word says, by his stripes you have been healed. You just got to believe. You just got to keep on expecting God to move. What about with your business? You started a business and things aren't going good. It's all right. Join the thousands of other people that have flopped businesses and had struggles in their businesses. But if you find anybody that's successful, they'll tell you this. Yeah, it was rough. It was a desert. It was the wilderness for the first couple of years. The first couple of 5 years, we just barely made it. But then one day, we kept on being faithful. We kept on doing what we had to do. And one day, we got that contract. One day, our business took off. And now I own several businesses, and right? But it didn't start with that. You see, when you're in financial trouble, there's only two things you can do. Hold on or give your way out. Sow or hold. If you hold, there is no harvest. If you sow, there's 100% harvest every single time. He already said in His Word, whatever you ask, it shall be done. It shall be given unto thee, the King James Version says. His Word says that when you plant a seed, you must expect a harvest. If you know how to plant seed and you know how to work the seed, then you'll get a harvest every single time. But if you give it reluctantly, or if you stand around and say, well, I don't know what to do. I gotta go to another seminar. No, you gotta go to your Bible, and your Bible says to tithe. It says give 10% of your income. Your Bible says to sow seeds of faith, to miracle seeds and different seeds when the time comes. And you can't wait for the preacher or the pastor or somebody on TV to say, hey, I believe that God wants you to plant a seed. No, you can't wait for that. You got to get up in the middle of the night sometimes and say, oh, I feel the anointing of God. I need to plant a seed. My first seed is going to be on my knees through prayer. And I'm going to ask God, Lord, what's my next step? I'm expecting something great, but what do I need to do? I know you paid the price on the cross for my salvation. I know you already paid the price for the pathway in the desert, but what do you want me to do? And oftentimes our faith will require that we do something with our faith. We may have to stretch in forgiveness with somebody we won't want to forgive. We may have to give something away that we don't want to give away, that we want to hold on to the keys. We want to hold on. Or we might have to give something monetarily and financially. God may say, get up and get online right now and give $1,000 right now. Or you walk right up to your pastor, or you walk up to one of the leaders and say, listen, God spoke to me. But until you start thinking like that, you won't operate in that kind of anointing. You'll operate in the piojo mentality. Even if you got a lot of money, you'll still have a piojo mentality, small little thinking. God says, you got to step out. How bad do you want it? You got to expect. And with expectations comes faith. When it comes to breaking addiction, I could camp out there for a long time because our country is in trouble. Our state is in trouble. Our city's in trouble. My God, I venture to say that our church might be in trouble. I'd rather have people come in here, than not. But my God, what is it going to take for breakthrough? What is it going to take for breakthrough, man? See, the Word of God says that he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We need His freedom. His freedom. He still delivers. He still delivers. The thing we need to do is be honest with God and step out in faith and say, okay, God, I'm ready. See, the Scriptures has a lot to say about attempting great things for God. Maybe not the way you expect it. But He says in Isaiah 43, verse 2 and 3, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by name. You belong to me. You're mine, He says. And if He's yours, that means He takes care of His. Come on, somebody. He says, I'm the Lord God of Israel. I'm your Savior, He says. And I want to say to some of you here this morning, He's your Savior. He loves you. He has an everlasting love for you, no matter what you've done or what you've been through. And listen, He understands your pain. If you'll just come and just bring it to Him and say, here, lay it at His feet. The Bible says that His yoke is easy and His burden is light. He says, come. He goes, let's bring it to me. Bring me your burdens. Bring me your burden and I'll turn it into a blessing. Come on, somebody. Bring me your burden. I'll bring it to a blessing. Listen, it hurts. There's pain involved. But I'll bless your life. Just stay connected to me, He says. Huh? In Isaiah 48, 2, 12 and 13, He says, listen to me, O Jacob and Israel, whom I've called. I am He. I am the first and I am the last. My hand laid the foundation of the earth and my right hand spread out the heavens. When I call to them, they stand for together. Listen, he's calling out together today. He's saying, you know what I did? I made all this. Trust me, the Lord says. Psalms 138 and verse 8 says, the Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Again, notice that the Scripture doesn't talk much about us personally. He talks more about what He can do. Huh? We're all wrapped up in us. We should be wrapped up in Him. Because I don't know about you, but when I was a youngster, my dad, you know, had to go away sometimes. Every once in a while, I had to go away and go to college. He had to go away, you know, to just visit other people for a while, sometimes, for months, you know, whatever. And I didn't have no backup in the neighborhood. Every neighborhood we went to, I had no backup. No backup. Thank God for friends. Thank God for friends that had older brothers. Speaking about older brothers, please keep Brother Tim involved in praying prayer. His brother passed away, his oldest brother, just a couple of days ago. But his brothers used to back me up. All I had to do was call on their name and people would move. I needed backup. I needed my uncles to back me up. There's something about having backup that makes you like, when you're by yourself, you're, let's do it. But when you got backup, you're like, keep on a big bad, you know. Come on, somebody. You know what I'm talking about. Something about having backup. God's your backup. God has your back. He's got you, man. And when you're trying to be away from him, you ain't got no backup. And there ain't nothing like having backup. Come on, somebody. Why do we expect? See, each one of us have unique. There's a unique number of ways that we all have things in common. One of them is that we know that God created us all. And I don't know about you. We haven't addressed it too much, but what's going on in our country, the division of prejudice and all that stuff like that, we don't feel it as much here because we've already kind of broke those things, I feel. Albuquerque has kind of broke those things. We have a tremendous diversity within our church, within our city. And it's still there, but you don't feel it as much as you do in other places. And I'll tell you why. It's because I really believe it's because of God. I really do. And we're all in the image of God. There's nobody better, nobody lower. Nobody. You know, people put it on the news, and they put all this stuff in the news and on Instagram and Facebook and all that. They're better and this person's better. I'm like, I don't know about you, but I had to stop watching the news because during the news there's so many awful campaign things going on constantly. I'm sick of it. I mean, we need a spiritual revolution in America. That's what we need. We need a spiritual revolution that says, you know what? God created all of us in His image, each one of us. Some are a little bigger. Some are a little smaller. Some are a little bit lighter. Some are a little darker. It's all right. It's all right. Why is it all right? Because we all belong to Him. And when the devil tries to pervert that and tries to distort that, man, I get on one. I get like, you know what? Enough's enough. And let me just tell you this, that we were created in His image, all of us. And I'm grateful to be part of Him. He's got my back. He's got your back. Now, let me run quick here, if you can come to the keyboard. The reason that you can expect great things from God is because great is a characteristic of God. The reason you can anticipate good from your Father is because He is the very essence and the substance of good. Come on, somebody. The reason you can assume good things from Him is because all good and perfect gifts are from above, and because you have Him, which is the greatest prize that you can ever be given, and quite honestly, the only prize worth having in this life. It's worth living for. The reason you can in turn attempt great things for God is because by pursuing life of godliness and holiness, your attempts become rooted in Him and who He is, and not in yourself. See, there's a lot of people expect things like, you know, just like their expectation and the positivity, like being positive. Okay, be positive. I don't like being around negative people anyway. It's like, bum me out. But sometimes I got to minister to negative people. Come on, somebody. It's part of our life, part of our ministry. But I don't want to be negative all the time, you know, like always negative. Like, come on, can we celebrate one thing? And so what happens a lot of times is that the world gets caught up in being positive. I'm positively expecting, but it's for them. It's not for God. It's not for His kingdom. It's for them only. It's positive in the guise, in the disguise of self-propelling. See, God is working. Neither your mistakes nor your pain or your suffering can hinder the sovereign plans of God when He's working. I don't care what you've been through. God will turn it around for you. That's why we need a running confidence of Him and not our own. Amen? At the end of the day, our confidence must come from the one who has the very fabric of the universe in the palm of His sovereign hand. He's able to do anything. Now, let me share some points real quick with you. What stops us? See, we got 182 and a half days left. 365 days, man. 182 days ago, we started 2018. Can you believe it? I told Barry, can you believe it's 2018? And then I said, can you believe it's June already? Life is passing fast. What we do for God stays. What we do for ourselves is for ourselves. And it don't last. It don't last. And you can't take it with you. You can't take anything with you. There's only one thing that goes, and that's your soul. Your soul's not right. Are you going to expect the next half of this half? Are you going to walk in expectation? Or are you going to just let it beat you? Let life beat you. The devil beat you. Everybody beat you. See some of them NBA players, some of them, the great ones keep their head up. The bad ones do this. You can tell when somebody misses a layup. Like LeBron James, when he misses a layup, he don't walk back with this. He goes back and swats a shot, grabs it out of the air, and goes back and dunks it. That's the difference between greatness and regular, just your regular player. Your regular player, just, you know, they make some up. What about you as a Christian? Because you miss a layup, so what? If you play ball enough, you're going to miss layups. You play this game, you're going to miss some layups, man. Just keep your head up, get back, and steal the ball on the other side of the court. Let's finish the half strong. God is faithful. He's called you. It's your move. So will you walk in expectation these next 182 days, or are you going to stay buried in the complete and total failure of what you feel you failed in? Because you know what? Ask any great person, any successful person, they'll say, man, I failed so many things at so many things, and there was that one breakthrough. It got me past the threshold. And from there on, I begin to say, I'm not going to think like that no more. I'm going to think like this. A lot of it has to do with our mentality. So what stops us from expectation? Number one is fear. Real quick, just real quick. I'm going to be real quick. What stops? It takes fear. 2 Timothy, the famous scripture, chapter 1 through 7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Sound mind. When our mind's not sound and our mind's full of fear and always... we can't make no breakthrough. But when you say, okay, I don't know how God's going to do it. I don't know how God's going to provide, but I have tithed. I have sowed. I have prayed. I have served. I'm faithful. I'm faithful. I'm faithful. There's no fear. But when you haven't done all those things, fear comes on you. See, fear will paralyze you. Fear says you can't. Faith says you can. Fear is false worship. And worry is like a false idol. You're worrying all the time. Don't worry no more. Tell them you got backup. They say, but I can't see my backup. Well, then look around this room. Tell somebody next to you, I got your back, dude. I got your back, sister. We're family. Somos familia. We are family. I got your back. You may not see God moving, but I got your back. I'm praying for you. You know, there was a sister from, they gave my wife a gift. She told me last night, I was touched by it. She said, look what they gave me. A little picture and a little card. I said, there's a girl from, she was in Denver, but it was one of the churches from the region, in Colorado Springs. She said, my name is so-and-so, Sister Barbara. It's what a privilege it's been all these last weeks or months to be praying for you. To prepare you for your coming here. Here's a small gift. And I thought, that's what we need. We need each other. We need to quit judging each other and start loving each other. Huh? Because a family that's together, ooh, come on somebody. Second thing we need, what's the thing that stops expectation is a lack of faith. In Matthew 15:38, The Bible says he did not do many miracles there because of their unbelief. Why? Why did they believe? They saw the miracles. Why don't they just believe? Lack of faith. You gotta step out in faith. When was the last time you stepped out in faith? See, a lack of faith limits you. It puts limits on you. Lack of faith will impair your giving, your serve, your time, everything. Fear says you can, but faith says you can. Thirdly, a wrong mentality will stop expectation. You know what? You won't be able to expect if your mentality is always down in the gutter, down thinking like that. You need to pick your head up and say, wait a minute, get my head in the clouds. Man, I gotta start thinking bigger. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. If you think you're defeated, you're defeated. If you think you're weak, you're weak. If you think you're always broke, you're going to be broke. Say, wait a minute, no, I'm a child of the living God. John chapter 10, verse 10 says that Jesus came to give me life and life more abundantly, not for me to be broke. Oh, there's times to be broke. There ain't nothing like those times of being broke when you say, I need you, God. But when you get it and you don't need him no more, then hello, somebody. Trust God. Have a new mentality. When you think negatively, it becomes contagious to your family, to everybody around you. See, the wrong mentality will render you to the circumstances instead of the promises. Come on. On the other hand, you have to make sure you're not expecting your own thoughts and your own will. Like, you got to be careful with that. Because fear gives you a fearful mentality. Faith gives you a sound mind and a clear clarity. Now, three last things. Three things that happen when we walk in expectation. You ready for them? You want them? Number one, we defeat fear. When you walk in expectation, you notice your kids. The kids that are you're raising them, grandkids with confidence, and they're walking around. They can take the world. Why? Because they got grandpa and grandma. They got mom and dad right there telling them, come on, you can do this. My little granddaughter, she does videos every day. I told me I need to get a YouTube channel. She was doing vibrato on her voice the other day. Let it shine. I'm like, who taught her that? I don't think Natalie can do that. She's confident. She just sings confidently. She says, She goes, sings. And she goes, come on, let's sing. And I say, what are you going to sing? She goes, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And she dances too at the same time. Like, that's Shirley Temple. But when you walk in expectation, you defeat fear. Not afraid of nothing. Remember what God did at Jericho. Remember where God did at Goliath and the valley where Goliath was at. David killed him. Remember that Peter in his first half of his life denied Christ. In the second half of his life, he won the world, the known world to Jesus. Come on, somebody. Understand that. He may have denied Jesus one night, but it wasn't long after that where he preached to a big old crowd of people and 3,000 men gave their life to the Lord. Right after that, the anointing fell on the day of Pentecost, and all the Spirit of God came upon him, and he walked into the temple, and he looked at one guy, and he said, silver and gold I may not have, but rise up and walk. And he got healed. All of a sudden, the anointing of God fell upon him. Why? Because in the second half, he started expecting God to do something powerful. You know what? Another thing that happens when we walk in expectation, we validate our faith. We declare that we are the people of God. That we got God on our side. That He will do it. It's not me. It's not you. It's Him. You begin to operate with a whole new level of faith. This is where you go from fear to faith. This is where you go from I can't do nothing to I know my God can do anything. Start operating in a new mentality. The third and last one is you start operating a whole brand new mentality. You're thinking better. You're thinking bigger. You say, you know what? Wait a minute. Okay. My first half was messed up. I may not have that good of a reputation. Maybe I messed up this marriage and maybe I messed up that, but I refuse to die in my second half. I refuse to give up in my second half. I refuse to say, okay, I guess it's who I'm always going to be. No, that's not who you're always going to be. You give it to God this morning. Use it as a chapter in your book. New heart, new mind, new perspective. It helps you walk in the promises. I want to close with this. Genesis chapter 26, verse 3. I'm going to just read a couple of verses. The Bible says there was a famine in the land. Besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham and Isaac went to Abimelech, the king of the Philistines in Gerar. And verse 2 says this, then the Lord appeared to him and said, now I want you to get this, you got to get this. The whole message doesn't make any sense until you get this. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land which I should tell you. Dwell in this land and I will be with you and bless you, for to you and your descendants I give all these lands, and I will perform the oath. Everybody say oath. The oath which I swore to Abraham, your father. Verse 4 says, and I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my law. See, Abraham was counted righteousness because he did what God said to do. And even in his second half, when he was old and frail, God still came through. He still had a son at the ripe old age of 100 and something. That word swore there. In the Hebrew, the original language is the word Shabbah. And it means to give one's word or to bind oneself with an oath. The origin of this word is the word Sheba. Everybody say Sheba. Shabbah and Sheba. And it's Hebrew. So now you know a little bit Hebrew. Which means it means the word seven. Everybody say seven. I'm still not done with that seven stuff. I got a whole bunch of more. I haven't even brought it out. Last year was sevens all year long, and I said, okay, it's over. And I said, no, every day I keep on getting new stuff, so just coming. The word seven, it means to swear when God says, I've swore to him, to swear in that manner, that word. It's not a swear word, like a swear word, like a bad word, but I swear in the essence of an oath, that I've a promise that I've given you. It meant either to completely bind oneself to fulfilling that oath, or to seven oneself. What does that mean?